morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Tuesday, February 25th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news stories from around Wyoming. A bill to eliminate Wyoming's gun-free zones is heading to the governor's desk. Wyoming Public Radio's Chris Clements reports protesters organized a die-in at the state capitol yesterday, urging him not to sign the bill.
Aiden McGuire was among the roughly 25 people who walked into the Capitol building and laid down outside the governor's office, surrounded by state highway patrol troopers. McGuire is a University of Wyoming student who testified against the bill. When he was young, McGuire says he lost his dad to gun violence. Protesters like him say the bill is one of many that legislators are proposing to fight what they call cultural Marxism in government and education.
Asking that me and my little siblings don't die in school isn't cultural Marxism. It's just common sense.
The measure would remove gun-free zones in state-run buildings, public schools, and public meeting spaces across Wyoming, including committee rooms at the Capitol. Its backers say more firearms will keep students and government employees safe. Gordon has 3 days to sign or veto the bill before it becomes law without his signature. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Chris Clements, reporting from Cheyenne.
A bill prohibiting state agencies from using or supporting central bank digital currencies passed the Senate and the House yesterday. House Bill 264 focuses on the equivalent of a digital dollar issued by the Federal Reserve. Jamaica, the Bahamas, and Nigeria are the only countries currently issuing digital currencies. The Federal Reserve has explored the possibility of digital currency for the United States, but has no plans to begin issuing one as of now. A central bank digital currency would act as the country's primary currency, unlike the forthcoming Wyoming stable token. A stable token is a digital asset pegged to the U.S. dollar that operates on a blockchain. The bill now heads to the governor's desk for his consideration. A bill that would add the words "not a U.S. citizen" to Wyoming driver's licenses belonging to non-citizens passed both chambers of the legislature. The measure aims to highlight that Wyomingites who are legal residents but are not U.S. citizens are ineligible to vote in state elections. It's one of more than two dozen election bills lawmakers are considering. Some are supported by Wyoming's Secretary of State and the Wyoming Freedom Caucus. The bill's backers say it's necessary to ensure the integrity of the state's elections. But opponents say the ID change would make immigrants more likely to face harassment and discrimination. The legislation would cost the state $67,000 to implement. It would go into effect starting next year. The House and Senate versions of the bill are expected to be reconciled by a joint conference committee today. Legislation expanding Wyoming's school voucher program could soon be headed to the governor's desk. Wyoming Public Radio's Jeff Victor has the details.
Both chambers of the Wyoming legislature have approved a major expansion of the state's school voucher program. It currently provides low-income families $6,000 of public funding to put their child in a private school. The so-called Steamboat Legacy Scholarship Act raises that to $7,000 and opens the program to any family, no matter how much the parents earn. On the Senate floor, Casper Senator Charles Scott praised the bill for doing away with that income limit.
Because I think that's something that's very important. We haven't ever used those on education funding.
The Senate's version of the bill opens up the funding for pre-K tuition. The House's version does not. A conference committee of both representatives and senators will need to negotiate a compromise before they can send the bill to the governor's desk. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Jeff Victor.
In Wyoming, the state legislature puts an emphasis on respectful debate and discussion. They follow an outline called the Rules of Debate, which regulates conduct during the session. Matt Obrecht is the director of the Legislative Service Office. It helps Wyoming legislators understand the lawmaking process and draft bills.
There is definitely an emphasis within the Wyoming legislature on decorum. Direct all your comments through the chairman. And the chairman then can shut down comments that tend to veer into maybe personalities or being disrespectful.
In recent years, the legislative process has become more accessible to the public. Prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, people would have to travel to Cheyenne to participate. Today, committee meetings and floor debates are streamed live on YouTube, and people can give testimony remotely. Obrecht says there are often concerns that lawmakers may change their behavior and perform for the camera when the session is streamed. He says debate has changed some, but senators still remain respectful. American grasslands were once a mecca for biodiversity, but federal data shows more than 60% of the ecosystem has vanished due to agriculture, development, and invasive species. New research shows how our region could play a role in the conservation of one important and yappy grassland animal. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports.
If you drive along a grassland, you might not see much. Anna Davidson says that's until you come across a colony of prairie dogs.
And as soon as you do, the life of the prairie is there.
Davidson is a scientist at Colorado State University. She says prairie dogs' underground burrows provide habitat for creatures from insects to ferrets. Her research team wanted to know the best spots to focus on their conservation, so they mapped intact native grasslands. But they also wanted to know where to avoid human conflict.
Is there oil and gas occurring there? Are there wind farms? Are there roads?
They found the highest potential for conservation efforts in the western portion of the grassland ecosystem. That includes less developed parts of Montana and Wyoming down to Colorado and northern New Mexico. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel with some lighter stories from around Wyoming.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. The grandparents of a distinguished Cheyenne veteran now have a headstone thanks to one resident's curiosity. Oil City News reports Becky Pock read a book about Medal of Honor recipient Vernon Baker. He was a black soldier who fought in World War II and the Korean War. His grandparents raised him in Cheyenne and were buried there, but when Pock went to find their grave, it was unmarked. Now, between her husband, a former city council member, the cemetery, and a local headstone engraver, Joseph and Dora Baker are permanently memorialized. A master mimer is retiring from 29 years with New York City's Blue Man Group. The Wyoming Tribune Eagle reports Pete Simpson Jr. grew up in Wyoming, but has been a cast member since 1996, which is almost as long as the show has been running. Simpson will stay in the space, though, working with experimental theater groups in the Big Apple. A University of Wyoming runner recently broke the school record for the mile. Junior Jacob White finished with a time just milliseconds more than 4 minutes. And according to WalletHub, Wyoming ranks 46th on its list of most sinful states. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And now for today's trivia question, who was the first African-American legislator in Wyoming? Send us your answers for all five of this week's trivia questions to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com by Sunday at noon, and we'll crown winners on Monday. That's it for today. Thanks for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Join me again tomorrow. And remember to subscribe to get Wyoming Debrief automatically downloaded to your phone and start your day on an informed foot. While you're there, please consider leaving us a review so that other people can find us. Thank you.